Test. 1, 2, test.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Grid Gas Bags. You're here with Eleanor and...
I'm Katrina.
So, elephant in the room. We did not record over the break.
Yeah, I mean, You know what? I think if we actually had a break like the rest of the world, we would have. But because it's midwinter here, it's a really busy socially for us. Yeah, it was just when we had a weekend free... We did absolutely nothing. So
just a random 3 weeks in the middle of August. It's nothing special. Nothing special for us.
No, and I mean, you know what? Maybe fell over Christmas, where it's like Christmas, New Year's. Then yeah, but
We did, however, watch 2021 Spa.
The whole qualifying.
Well,
and nothing
we
of
wanted
it.
To watch 2021 Spa. We're like, oh, we'll watch the race of last year's before this season. It rained out. It was completely rained out. We sat there for like 3 hours being like, is anything going to happen?
We knew it rained a lot and that it wasn't the complete race distance. However, didn't realize that they just did, what, 3 formation laps and that was all?
But also like our internet is absolutely horrible at home. We're like, oh, okay, maybe the internet's just loading and there'll be something really interesting. Nothing interesting happened.
Yeah,
so we're
nothing.
Like, oh, we'll talk about this one. We watched it. We're like, we chose the only one where nothing happened. We couldn't talk about.
Apart from the frustration, it's like there's a whole meme around Australia. It's like, you know you're in Australia when your internet's so bad you turn off your Wi-Fi and go onto your phone. Yeah, like it was one of those ones we had to turn to 3G.
We had to hotspot.
Yeah, and hotspot onto the laptops in order to get it to stream.
Yeah.
So, you know what, a wasted weekend. I think that's at the tone of, screw it, we're not going to go look at any other historical ones and talk about them over the season's technical break.
But the reason why we couldn't be bothered, we were so unmotivated.
Yeah, from that
one,
race.
One day, I think the weekend after, we were so unmotivated. We didn't want to watch anything else. We decided to go for a 19-kilometre walk just for fun.
Yeah, because that was more interesting than talking about something where we know that our favourite drivers don't do well.
Exactly. So, yes.
We're glad that it's been back. I mean, F1 Tumblr was kind of, you know, active over the break considering all of the news regarding Vettel, Alonso, Piastri, Ricciardo, like, and then overnight then the information about Albon and then potentially Gasly, and it's just F1 Tumblr was great and quite a few throwbacks.
You're forgetting about the biggest piece of information that dropped over the break.
Audi and what else?
That's not Audi's. Okay, well, Audi is the biggest.
What's the biggest piece of information?
Ricciardo.
I said Ricciardo in there.
Yeah, just fleetingly.
Yeah,
our favorite
like,
driver.
I went in like
of
order of things that like popped up on like internet timeline wise.
But Perth represent. He's leaving. So let's okay. Before we talk about anything else, we've covered the fact that we didn't do anything over the quote unquote
July.
Break.
Nothing
August.
In July.
We're August.
Yeah, and you know August as well.
But okay, Ricciardo. Our favourite driver with the exception of Sainz and maybe Schumacher.
Yeah, Sainz for me is still first.
But he released, for those of you who aren't aware, though many of you might be aware because we are recording this quite late.
Quite late after the news, yeah.
Ricciardo released a video on Instagram where, first of all, he looked so sad.
So defeated.
Oh, the poor guy. He didn't announce his retirement, but he essentially announced that he will not be driving with McLaren in 2023, despite having a contract for 2023. His last race will be in 2022 with McLaren.
The selective language used, and this is something that we're... It's quite common within like Australian rhetoric. It's not what you say.
It's what you don't say.
And the location of pauses and...
Or just his eye contact.
Yeah. Oh. I don't know. A lot of people are under the impression that he'll sign somewhere else to keep on going. I don't think he will sign onto something that's not equal or better. I don't think he'll go to Alpine. The reason why I don't think he'll go back to Alpine is the same reason as why he wouldn't go to Red Bull.
He's already been
has tried it, yeah. And although it did provide some success, wasn't the success level he wanted. And I do not see him going into what on paper is a worse team via speed and resources. So I think he's gone, okay, I've gone from Toro Rosso up to Red Bull, gone up. I don't think he saw moving to Renault as a downgrade. I think he saw that as an equal opportunity, which at the point in time it would have been.
Sidestep.
Yeah, it would have been a sidestep. And I think at the time he moved to McLaren, it was also a sidestep from Renault of where the teams were sitting. However, I don't think there is anywhere that is an equal sidestep that has an opportunity open, unless potentially he goes to Alfa Romeo. That's in 2026. Unless he potentially goes to Alfa Romeo, but I don't see Alfa getting rid of Zhou because Zhou's done absolutely amazing. Great opportunity for the Asian market, and the sponsorships that come with it are very, very different from what everyone else can present. So I think at the end of the year, Ricciardo's going to acknowledge that I'm going to still try, or at least put out the information, I'm going to try and get another certificate.
That's a contract.
Certificate of completion. But I think he'll try and get another contract. But then I honestly do not think he'll actually actively look for something for next year. If it happens to fall in his lap, he probably will take it, but I don't think he'll do it.
But that's what he said in the video. I'm not going to be able to get the quote exactly right, but he was like, I still have the fire within me to pursue F1, to drive for F1. I don't know. His eyes kind of
looked, I don't think he does.
He looked a little bit sad. I can't say what the environment is at McLaren. I can't say all the different factors in his life and all of that that have made him say that. But if you had that fire, if you had that, surely you wouldn't need to say that.
I think the most telling piece of information, though, is you know
that it's going to happen unless you're trying to convince yourself, so you need to put it out there.
I don't think he's trying to convince himself. I think he can't acknowledge that the situation is in its place, because then that would just completely ruin the rest of the season mentally. But I think the biggest telling piece of information is what ex-teammates and ex-teams have said about him. Vettel's comments in the media session on Thursday was like, that's McLaren's complete... Oh, Vettel went at McLaren, anti-McLaren hashtag.
But also, Vettel completely ripped them to pieces. Everything.
Yeah.
He's not holding back anymore, not holding back
No,
at all.
He totally ripped them to pieces, and he was like, it's McLaren's fault for not extracting Daniel's potential. And as much as everyone hates on Christian Horner,
he's like, I have driven against him.
And I have lost against him.
And the fact that him, a four-time world champion, has admitted that and started to present that information in the tone and way.
And also willingly, not prompted.
Yeah. And he was like, he's in such a difficult position. Like, damn,
yeah, he's been put in an awful position. And I think as much as people don't like Christian Horner within like the F1 universe of non-people associated, like us, layman's people.
No, I don't mind Christian Horner.
No, but like you don't watch the sport for him. Like, you are not his number one fan. No, what I'm saying is even though people dislike Christian Horner. Let me finish.
I only watch F1 for Christian Horner's wife.
Jerry Spice.
Spice Girls.
There's been information that he's commented on it, and it's like, Daniel in McLaren is not the Daniel that left us from Red Bull. Something has changed. He's lost the fire or spark in his eyes. And for the fact that Christian Horner can recognize that the environment that he's been put in at McLaren is more toxic towards Daniel's working preferences than Red Bull was. And Red Bull is known for being a very difficult and unique environment to work in.
It's known to be a boys' club.
Exactly, hence difficult.
Oh, you're just trying to say it nicely.
I'm trying to say it nicely. For the fact that he's come out and said that really shines light on how has that environment changed, and that you are only as good as the environment you believe in.
McLaren wasn't like that when Sainz was there.
No.
Or was it? I don't know. It was too far in the past.
Yeah, it's not something that
we've
focused
on. Sorry, I interrupted you. What were you
going to
say?
No, but the thing is that I'm an avid believer is that you are the reflection of the people you spend the most time with. And everyone here has to work in order to provide their living, even if they're F1 drivers and they're paid multiple millions of dollars to really isolate themselves in a car for hours on end. Driving is their job, but they still have to work with the team around them. And as much as some people have mental strength in order to barricade themselves from it.
Mental resilience.
Mental resilience, yeah. You have more mental resilience if you don't have to protect yourself, as opposed to always having your arms up the entire time.
You're not using your energy to try to recreate your baseline. Your baseline's just there and you're trying to improve.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, what is it? The swing? Pendulum.
Pendulum. Yeah, and that's like the reason why I don't know whether Ricciardo will sign to something next year, because I think even if he has Best case scenario, that's highly unlikely, an amazing second half of the year. He still has the first half of this year bearing its weight on him. And what do they say? Yeah. Like when you have something negative impact your life, it takes months for your body to get rid of all that stress.
But also we just watched Q3.
Yeah.
So I'm jumping ahead to Q3. I don't know which commentator it was, but someone mentioned that he's not made like Q3.
Since Australia.
So this was before like Spa happened. Like they were talking about like the positions as they were driving.
Mm.
He's not made Q3 since Australia.
And, yeah, like, and you know how much of a positive environment would have Australia been for him? Painfully positive.
But that's a very long time ago, so I can understand why in the video where he announced that he won't be driving for McLaren, yeah, I feel for the guy. I really do. Because like, okay, I'm going to probably say a bit too much personal information, but it's like you leaving your job.
And you leaving yours as well. So we
left our jobs, not like right now, but like, recently, in our old jobs.
But in the past, like, 6 months, we've both resigned from our previous roles and are starting new ones / started new ones. And
if it impacts
on your body that you have when you've been in such a negative environment for such a long time, you do not realize until you're free from it.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm saying is even if he signs to something for 2023, which I think is unlikely, he will still be bearing the impacts of that.
But also
afterwards,
think about Vettel saying he won't drive next year versus how Daniel won't drive next year.
Yeah.
Right?
One is that I've made the choice. The other one means
the choice has been made for
me. And I don't have a say at all.
Yep.
And if he doesn't have a say in his own contract that has been signed, how is he going
to
have
be motivated?
There's no motivation there.
What's the saying?
I wouldn't be motivated.
You can dangle,
why would I try?
What's the saying? You can dangle a horse in front of a carrot, but you can't make it eat it.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
What did I say?
Or you can dangle a horse in front of a carrot. And English is your first language.
I got the two sayings confused.
Yeah,
you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink the water. That's not, yeah.
So that's the elephant in the room.
That, I think, is the most poignant way of saying that.
The only good thing that has come about this is if Ricardo mentally hits the, I can do whatever I want now, it's going to be a fun second half of the season. If he just has a ball, even if he doesn't have a fast car, if he just goes, nah, screw it. I'm going to do whatever the hell I want.
Good.
He's going to have a good time, then hopefully end on a high.
But keeping on the topic of Daniel Ricciardo, McLaren and Lando.
Oh, yeah.
Lando,
we've seen some things recently.
Now be the lead driver. Senior driver. If they get a newbie, what do they use the term? They use the term rookie. If they get a rookie,
I don't like rookie.
We'll
go with newbie.
Reminds me of cookie spelt wrong.
Yeah.
I'm hungry. It's nearly lunchtime here.
A new recruit.
So if they get a newbie into F1, Lando is going to be the most senior driver.
Correct, because he'll have 4 years at that point in time, beginning of next year.
It puts so much more pressure on Lando than he's ever had before, right? Because think about it. With Ricciardo,
that he won't want.
Ricciardo being previous like winner, etc., he's been the most senior driver. Lando's kind of – he hasn't gone under the radar, but he's kind of just –
But even when Carlos joined, he had 4 years under his belt.
Yeah, but Lando's never been the one to like lead all of the press conferences, everything, etc. Lando will now be that person which puts – hold on – the additional driver of, we have
responsibilities.
We've dropped Ricciardo because he's not getting results. You have to get results now. Hold on. And you have to mentor a newbie coming in. Hold on. And you have to be the spokesperson. Hold on. And you have to do this. And because so far he's the only person to get a podium in the races outside of Mercedes, Red Bull and Ferrari. So that's
Ferrari.
I was about to say McLaren. I'm like, no, he's in McLaren. But that puts extra pressure on Lando. So in 2023, in a general year, I wonder whether the Lando and newbie
combination
will be the same as Bottas and Zoe, because Bottas and Zoe have been a brilliant combination of a senior driver mentoring a younger driver.
I think it depends on how much Lando wants to take the opportunity. If he wants to go, well, I'm here until 2025, the team is – if he can see that, yes, he's got another 2 years with the team, he can see that the car is getting better then I think he will. If he sees the car's getting better, he's going, okay, so in order for me to potentially win a championship with McLaren, I think it's like a long shot. However, if the car improves, he goes, well, the best way for me to do that is to have someone relatively close to me in speed so I can use them in order to boost my position.
But also,
if McLaren's car does not improve, they bring in someone brand new into the team, I don't think he'll help them at all. Because why should he, when he's gone, all right, I have 2 years left in my contract. Oh, actually, it wasn't that difficult for them to cancel Daniel's contract. Everyone else's contract turns up in 2024. Maybe I'll change mine up and cancel my final year.
Or maybe he'll get a 1 year extension to 2026.
And then move to the two new teams.
And then move to the two new
teams. I think that's probably most likely. He'll hold out with McLaren until the new ones come in.
Unless he wins with McLaren.
I reckon he'll be like, I won. Try somewhere else.
Unless he either wins with McLaren, he's going to stay for the potential chance of winning again. Or he comes so close to winning
that he gets frustrated and leaves.
He's like, no. He's so close to winning, he's going to stay an extra year. Because can you imagine if it was this? Can you imagine how?
It's like what happened to Vettel.
Can you imagine?
He got so close in 2018, tried 2019, got close in 2019, nothing 2020.
Yeah. So if Lando has that super, super close year of coming second, then he's not going to leave McLaren when he's come so close to getting the world championship. He's going to stay and obviously try to win that next year. But anyway, it's purely speculative.
Yeah, just opinion pieces. Just food for thought, as we like to say.
So yes, I am very curious about who's going to be in the McLaren seat because it's probably going to be Piastri.
Yeah, to be honest, I think next year will be the beginning of Piastri. I don't know how long, if Piastri moves there, I don't know how long he'll want to stay. If being an Australian has taught us anything, particularly given the assumptions that we have put upon Piastri based on where he's grown up, where
He's from Melbourne and he's being mentored by Mark Webber.
Yeah, but also like not just where he's from in Melbourne, but like schools he went to and the general stigmas and associations. The equivalent of the GT or boy schools.
Oh, this like the type of schools where they chanted on the train?
Yes. So tram. Based on those assumptions, I reckon he's going to be painfully ambitious.
Ambition's not a bad thing.
No, I think ambitious is a really good thing.
You need to be ambitious in that environment, especially if you're up against someone.
But what I'm saying is I reckon his first thing will be to be ambitious. Yes, everyone wants to win first. But if he's got the idea of, well, I won F3 first year. I won F2 first year. He's not going to stay in a slow team for more than a year. He will do absolutely everything he can to move somewhere faster. Which is why I think the dynamic between him and Lando, if he moves to McLaren, will be interesting. If McLaren does not improve, he's going to be like, no, screw it. I'm going to move anywhere I can.
But can you imagine if he's doing really well and Lando's staying at the pace that he's at, they're going to push each other so much.
Yeah, if Piastri wants to stay, I don't think he'll stay at McLaren if McLaren aren't fast enough.
Or he's trying to push himself to be like, hey, please pick me up. Please pick me up as a driver. He's going to try his absolute damnedest to be that person. Like, oh, wait,
repeat,
I want to pick you.
Hamilton was at McLaren and Mercedes were like, oh, yeah, he's quick.
Yes, we'll move him. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, you know, that's it. I think, if Piastri does a Hamilton trajectory, good on him.
But also,
I want that to happen.
But what makes me think that he's going to stay at McLaren for a while? So we're looking on
Piastri.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
We're looking if he's at, with the assumption
if
that
he signs,
that assumption. So Otmar, can't say a surname.
Yeah.
Mr. Otmar from Alpine said that they had offered him like a 3-year contract. So Otmar is convinced that Piastri should have signed with Alpine and they're going to go to the legal counsel, whatever it is. Anyway.
That's on Monday.
Monday, after the results
of this weekend, that's what happens.
Awkward because Piastri is still the reserve driver for Alpine and is in the Alpine garage all weekend. But hold on, I digress.
He's still driving for them too.
So Mr. Otmar said that Piastri would have had a 3-year contract. So that's the key bit of information here, 3 years. So if he signs with McLaren, did he also get a 3-year contract? Is 3 years too much? Is 3 years too little? Did he want to sign a multi-year? It'll be very interesting if he signs with McLaren, the time period that he stays as well. If he's locked in for 2 years, 3 years, and he can't escape.
If I was Piastri, I would push for a 2-year contract, a 3-year contract, because so many people's contracts end in 2024, which then gives them the opportune position for doing a 1-year before the two new teams join, or a single 2-year contract before the two new teams join. Because the last thing you want is, my contract runs up, but there's no one else to swap with, because then you're kind of really stuck.
But okay, next topic.
Two new teams joining. We knew, we mentioned a few podcasts back that Porsche had signed on with Red Bull Powertrains for 2026.
Yep. So that's kind of, okay, Porsche signed on with Red Bull Powertrains. You can kind of put two and two together that Porsche is going to be one of the teams. Surprise.
Yeah, not surprised there. However, then that means there's technically three teams affiliated then with Red Bull.
Hold on. What's Porsche's logo? Is it also like a Ferrari bull? Horse? I think it's like a Ferrari horse.
I don't think it's a
horse. No, I think it's like a Ferrari
I thought
horse.
It was a bull.
Because what colour are they going to go? So Porsche being one of the
teams, that's interesting. Because so Audi's released theirs. They've obviously got the four rings, which isn't too similar to anyone else. And they've done like a weird blood orange and like dark grey. Very similar to what McLaren has at the moment.
It's not blood orange. It's red.
No, it's not. No, Ferrari is red. It's not that. It's got like an orange
red.
Hue.
It's like a
blood
light,
orange.
It's like a light red.
It's blood orange.
It's not an orange. It's a red.
So like a reddy orange? Like a dark orange?
It's like...
It's not red.
It's like a sunburned country, land of sweeping
plains. Yeah, which is orange.
It's red.
The red dirt in the outback is not red.
It's a warm
it's
colour.
Dark
it's
orange.
Warm colour. It's a warm colour.
The colour of iron ore.
Oh, far out. No, it's not the colour of iron ore.
Yeah, on the road. It's dark orange.
Oh, whatever.
It's blood orange.
Whatever. Anyway, Porsche's, I think I'm saying that wrong. Porsche's logo.
It's the Australian accent.
Slogan.
Emblem,
whatever. It's a
bull.
It's a horse. It is
horse?
A horse. You thought I was nuts.
Who has the bull
it's,
then?
It's a horse in the shape of a upside down triangle, a curved triangle. Oh, a shield.
So upside down triangle, an inverted triangle.
It's a shield. It's a shield.
No, that's a deer, Eleanor.
No, that's a horse.
No, it's a deer. It's got things on its head.
Oh, my gosh. It is a deer because then they've got the antlers in the other two quadrants.
I was about to say, they can't have a horse. Like, all of these cars, if they have an animal as their, like, representative colour.
The colours are gold. Well, I think it's – I don't think it's gold. I think that's what their emblem is. It's gold, red, and black with a deer.
Yeah, okay.
So they can't
so
do
then,
red.
Yeah, so Porsche come anyway. In 2026. They're affiliated with Red Bull for the time being, at least based on rumours. And then Audi's released that as – like with the Porsche, awfully kept secret that they've signed on. Awfully kept secret.
There's two new teams. One of them's going to be us.
Yeah. So they're signing on for 2026 to start. And they've clapped back at Mercedes already going, we're going to have everything built in Germany, even though Mercedes is
a German
brand. And they've come out saying that they want a German driver to join their lineup for 2026. Now, a really popular fan theory is Vettel said he's retiring. But
from
he's
driving.
From driving. He's from explicitly driving. Said driving. So this is like a fan theory slash like fan hope that's going around. Audi starts. Vettel joins the team as team principal or CEO or COO or some sort of affiliate with
German,
the management because he's German and he's got the
German
experience
yep.
or
German.
Technical advisor or something along the lines of there.
He's
and
happy.
Then Mick moves to Audi because he is German. And if Vettel's in like a position of influencing people who are employed, he'd be like, oh, yes, Mick is my favorite. Sign
mentoring
on Mick
wise.
And mentoring wise.
They've seen
Mick
how
will
well
then
they
be,
drive together.
Exactly.
And
Mick will then
each other.
Mick will then be the senior driver.
No, not senior driver. Mick will be the team principal, CEO. The
Mick will be the lead driver.
Mick.
You're saying Vettel will be a sort of technical
Mick
director.
Mick will be the lead driver.
Mick will be the lead driver. And then we have someone else new coming into the team as
Train
well.
Them up. Yeah.
So you know what? I would love it if Piastri and Mick get paired together in 2026.
No,
or some other random person who's
not
new.
Not Piastri. Some random person who's done very, very well.
Not random. It's obviously someone who's,
no,
who's
no,
got skill. But
no, when I say random, I don't mean like
they're
Yuri,
not already.
I don't mean like Yuri Vips, Liam Lawson, Piastri.
So not an F2
DeVries.
Person.
I don't mean the people who are already driving in like –
So you mean someone
sessions.
In F3 or someone who hasn't even started F3 yet?
Yeah, because it's going to be a couple of years down the road. Give someone brand new a chance. It's a brand new team. What are they going to do? Really
Does anyone
badly?
Know any German drivers
do,
in F3?
How can you do
if
so,
then they will join.
Like, how can you do so badly that the team drops out? You can't, right? So they're starting from the bottom. Might as well train somebody. Like,
I think that's a good,
the best
I
option.
Think that's a good strategy to
I
do.
I think that's the best option because I am very pro-team player.
Yeah, and pro-passing your skills on to someone else to make your life easier.
Right?
Yeah.
Because what do you get out of this life? You try to help everybody around you to benefit everyone else because at the end of the day, you're going to go. The other people are going to be around. Give all that knowledge down. Spread that knowledge down. If that's the way that Audi starts, that would be a great culture to move into. Can you imagine?
It'd be so supportive.
If Audi is one of those teams where, by the way, we're not super pro or against Audi.
No.
We don't even drive Audis. We can't afford Audis. But
Luxury car tax in Australia.
I would love to drive an Audi though. Anyway, but like, can you imagine if Audi starts off at one of those teams where one of the key things that they talk about is not the money, it's not like the prestige, it's the team culture. It's the driving culture. You don't even have any whiff of a boys' club room. You don't
because
even
you
have
can
any
have
whiff of like
great teamwork and great skill and great things if you nurture the people first. When
and
people
who's the
are
best
happy,
to nurture?
Companies are happy.
Mr. Vettel.
Vettel. So that's the thing. So we're excited.
We're just sitting here smiling.
To be,
like,
yeah.
I hope this happens.
So with Mercedes coming in when they started back in, what is it, 2011, 2012, how they had
started.
Michael Schumacher and then Rosberg joining the team. Two German drivers for a German company.
Yep.
And then look at the success and popularity that they had with all of the past five drivers that they've had in the past decade or so.
Five? Hold on. Schumacher,
Michael Schumacher,
Rosberg,
Hamilton, Bottas, Russell.
Oh, yeah. Russell.
I reckon that's very likely going to be a pathway for either Porsche or Audi. I don't think both of them will be equally successful. One will be and one will not be. Time will tell which one that turns out to be.
I do, however, think that Piastri will move to Porsche whenever Porsche are
established. He's more likely to move to Porsche based on his
Mark Webber, who is his mentor, who is his manager, whatever. Webber has an established relationship with Porsche that's like already there.
Yeah, he's driven for them, and also the affiliation with Red Bull as well. He's also got those connections still there, at least with the people in the company.
That's like the long term. If Piastri doesn't really messed something up,
he could do a Van Dorn, be there for a couple of years and people forget about him and moves on.
Speaking of Van Dorn, he won for
congratulations to him.
Yeah,
good
on
him.
I like Van Dorn. He was an underrated driver. He just happened to start when there were too many greats in the
sometimes it's not meant to be.
He did really well.
So that's going to be interesting to see how that pans out, and both you and I are very excited for the next few years, because as much as we have our favourites are Ricciardo and my favourite drivers are Ricciardo, not in any order, Ricciardo, Sainz, Vettel, Leclerc and Schumacher.
I quite like Russell.
And I quite like Perez as well, but all of them are quite old.
Which means
Albon's really old.
Albon's not old.
No. So my favourites are old, and as much as I love them doing well, I am very much a person of pass the flag. Like
make way for the new generation of drivers.
And that's it. So I'm very curious to see what the next three years effectively will be like. So
but
watch this space.
Next big piece of information. So we've covered Ricciardo leaving. We've covered Audi / potentially Porsche.
I mean, I don't really want to talk about Alonso moving to Aston, because I'm not a fan of Alonso.
We already talked about that.
Alonso's moved to Aston. Good on him. We did mention it, but I don't want to talk about it again.
Alonso's moved on to Aston.
Yep, done tick.
Which means that there's an open spot at Alpine. Done. Okay, yep. Anyway, at the end of 2023, Sauber and Ferrari are parting ways.
No, it's Sauber and Alfa Romeo are parting ways. So the agreement that they have is they're parting ways in, like, for majority shareholdership, I think is the word that they use.
Sauber and Alfa Romeo, right. Okay, my mistake.
So that's the majority owning power of Sauber and Alfa Romeo are going to end, and the majority company that's buying a stakes in the partnership will be Sauber and Audi, and they're going to have
I
think they're going to I hope I read this right, and they're going to the Audi are going to utilize Sauber's technology and factories in Switzerland until they establish everything for 2026, and then that's going to start. And then there's another minority shareholder that I think has like 31 or 21%, like a company that I don't recognize. It's probably huge in Europe.
Huge in Europe.
Yeah, unless it's like Australasian, it's really not big on my radar. So that's also news. So another thing will being is if they're changing shareholderships and who's there. We know that Bottas is on a long-term contract. I would be very curious
long-term
to see.
Long-term or just multi-year?
It's the same thing really in the way that we're talking about it. I would be very curious to see what happens at the end of 2023, because I think they'll keep Joe for next year, definitely.
I'd be very surprised if they drop him.
Same here. Regardless of whether he does well or not, I want to see the tact that they're going to move between years 2024 and 2025, whether they're going to prep someone for Audi or just go, no, we're going to have the people that we currently have driving the car, let's keep them the same. And then 2026, brand new people, because I don't think Bottas will be there by the time we hit 2026. I think he'll retire as well.
but also because this is the first time Bottas has not made it into Q3. Hold on, since 2015.
There you go. So that's the other major, I think, news in the room that's not pure. Well, I mean, I was going to say purely opinion. It's all been opinion. You and
the other news that I've written down in my scroll of a handwriting, Tatiana C is now an FP2.
Oh, I want to say, if I'm saying this right, Calderon. So Eleanor and I watched our first FP2 qualifying last night because it popped up on my Tumblr dashboard that there's a female driver in F2 for the first time in 2019. I was like, oh, I didn't know there was someone in 2019, but it was her. Tatiana. Let's just call her Tatiana. She drove in 2019, drove in 2019 and is back. And at this past recent race, Spa's session in the F2 session in Spa was her first time driving since 2019. Yeah. So that's absolutely amazing that we've got another female in there. I'm surprised that there's not been greater ease for some of the W Series women to move across yet. However,
they might be paving the way, but for the fact that
there's even one, I want her to be really successful, but whether she is successful or not, she's chipping away. She has her foot in the door to be a reminder that it's not just possible, but it's also accessible.
But it's also plausible.
It is. And also I'm really glad that she's not European.
She's from Colombia, right?
Yeah. So she's South American, which makes it even more accessible for people who, one, see the gender as a barrier, and then two, distance as a barrier. So I'm really –
You don't get many South American drivers unless they're from Brazil.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm really glad she's not European, and I'm glad that she's not just gone into F3, she's gone into F2. So there you go. We don't know who's going to be in there for 2026. But the reason that Audi and Porsche had been holding off into joining F1 or even putting through the idea was because they wanted to have the technology used to build the F1 engines, cars, everything to be transferable to their everyday market. Because both of them have...
Oh, we missed that. That's a big piece of information. Because
both of them have such a huge market share of everyday driver cars, and they didn't want to join the series unless they could prove that the regulations were going to support... more sustainable fuel integration and methodology within the entire components.
Yeah.
If they're taking the swing of let's be more environmentally sustainable, I would be very surprised if one of them does not exploit having a female driver in order to boost their brand.
That's quite a horrible thing to say.
But it's thinking about it from Eleanor, how many political parties and how many companies here have a gender diversity quota? So I, as much as
the quota shouldn't be the driver. It should be skills.
And that's what I'm saying as well. If they put a female as a driver in there, I think it would be really, really good because it makes it even more accessible because they're not going to be able to get to F1 unless they have skills, right? So at that point, there, everyone has the skill to be the driver. But that'll just give even more hope and opportunity to women. And it brings the recognition of it on a much broader scale. So you know what? If they're going to push environmentally sustainable, tied hand in hand is gender diversity. So hopefully they bring in a female driver for 2026. Yeah.
But that is now all of the bullet points that we've had over the last couple of weeks. We've probably been talking your ears off and this is going to be a long episode. So
longer.
Yes, because we do like to gas bag. We like to gas bag.
Shall we talk about qualifying?
Grid gas bags. So yes, so not going to lie, I didn't watch FP3.
Yeah, we both went to sleep and we both didn't watch qualifying last night. It was too late for us.
Yeah, so we've watched FP1, FP2, didn't watch FP3, watched qualifying.
Qualifying was a task and a half here for what? An hour and a half session.
So slow.
Took us about 3.5 hours because nothing would buffer.
Far out. Like it didn't load. You're like, oh, look, we've just started Q3. Oh, hold on. The thing's buffering. We can't fast forward it because it's only 10 minutes.
Still 17 minutes to go.
And then it was buffering in the last minute. You're like, I definitely can't fast forward it now.
Yeah, 22 seconds left. And you're like, who the pole?
Anyway, so qualifying. We can't
talk penalties. About
penalties, grid penalties.
Yeah,
so a lot of people have grid penalties,
which is good because you know it makes it interesting. Yes, it's sad when your favorite has a grid penalty and they go all the way back at position 20, But for the fact that there's, what, six or seven drivers that have penalties.
Verstappen, Leclerc, Norris, Ocon, Bottas and Schumacher. So it's people from...
No, and Joe. I'm pretty sure Joe has one as well.
I don't think Joe does.
Doesn't he? Look, Joe's 19th. I'm pretty sure both Alfa Romeos took penalties,
Well, seven drivers.
It mixes it up. That's half. That's 50%, effectively.
It's penalties from people at the top, middle and lower middle.
Yeah, lower middle. That's the best way to phrase it.
Lower middle part of the field means that the people who are at the quote-unquote now top of the field are a variety of drivers, which means, one, it's an actual permanent racetrack. The track is known to be a wider track because of the car specs. You can overtake a lot easier. And
Spa, you could overtake regardless of the positioning. So if it was in fastest to slowest cars, as technically it should be, it's still known as a track for overtaking. But if you've got all these fast cars at the back,
and rain, it's going to be a very interesting race. Anyway, so we're watching the qualifying. So the qualifying order is not the order that actually happened because of all the grid penalties.
There was
so
a statistic that popped up, and they were saying this is the one of the only races where everyone who qualified in these qualifying sessions will not start in the position they qualified at.
Yep.
Every single driver changes positions due to the penalty placements.
But speaking of driver positions, Albon has finally made Q3.
Congrats to him.
His first Q3 performance, and he's now sitting at P6. Again, when we're talking about the positions, we're assuming that the penalties are now in place, so the penalty people are now at the back of the stadium. Back of the grid.
Yeah, we'll go with stadium. Back of the stadium, sitting in level 5.
Trying to get the cars down. So Albon's finally made it into his first Q3 appearance. Bottas didn't make it into Q3, which is kind of a shame. But the order as it stands with penalties in place, I have finally got my
favorite
Feliz Navidad. Maybe not in the order that I expected, but...
the order you wanted, if we're being honest.
1, 2, 3, Sainz, Perez, Alonso. I got my Feliz Navidad. I am happy. I can't remember how many episodes I said ago, but I want a Feliz Navidad podium. I'm on my way to a Feliz Navidad podium.
I don't think that'll be the podium that happens.
Don't burst my bubble. I'm on my way to a Feliz Navidad podium because hear me out. During the qualifying, Leclerc didn't really help Sainz.
That wasn't
qualifying. In qualifying, Verstappen didn't even get into the car.
Ocon didn't really help Alonso either.
Exactly. Verstappen didn't even get into the car, didn't even go out, didn't help Perez.
Yeah.
And Alonso is so angry with Ocon messing up his game.
And Sainz for almost driving into him.
Alonso's going to let all hell rain.
That's what I'm saying. He's not going to let anyone pass him, and it is going to be so interesting. Because who's behind Alonso? Which is behind Alonso? That's what
Hamilton's behind Alonso. Hamilton is once again stuck behind Alonso. I really feel for Hamilton.
No, you know what? It would be worse if Hamilton was fifth, because then he's directly behind him on the grid. He's side by side.
But you know, I don't feel bad for Hamilton because I got my Feliz Navidad. I'm so happy.
At the end of the day, we just want Carlos to win. Yes. Carlos now has two poles to his name. Okay. I don't care if he technically finished second because Verstappen finished first. Starting order, he will be number one.
So, speaking of starting order,
I want Carlos to get his second win of his career. I am so excited for that. And his dad was there.
Because it was really interesting, the contrast between Charles's, what's the word? Garage?
Yeah.
Garage?
They say garage, but I think that sounds weird coming out of my mouth. Say garage.
Shed? Should sound wrong. Garage. So in the garage.
Mechanics room. Engineering space.
Car waiting room. Car doctor's surgery. So in the garage, you could see Charles had a lot of people.
And they were all quite close to where, like right up to the area that they could have stood by. Whereas in the Sciences garage, it was Sciences dad standing by himself. Senior.
By himself, looking very nervous, like a dad would normally be.
We'll put our dad in that situation. He'd either be just bouncing on his heels.
Or he'd be pacing.
He'd be pacing or would not move for the entire hour and a half.
Or he would end up talking to someone and not watch any of it.
And then forget, look, 2.5 hours have gone. Yeah. Hi, honey, hope you did well.
But I think the mentality going into this, Carlos is so focused because the only person around him
is his dad.
Quote unquote, like family, friends, etc. that we know of. There might be so many other people we don't know that we know of is his dad versus Charles with more than his dad.
I think that's because
quite horrible to say.
No, but I also think it's influenced from like the Ferrari choice of who they place in which area. If they put more people spectating from Charles's side, that's going to bring in more revenue than if they place people within Science's side based on their standings within the championship.
But what I'm saying is that my Feliz Navidad is going to be great because
it's highly possible.
Science is focused. Perez has something to prove because Verstappen didn't even help Perez.
The issue is
Perez, hold on, Perez is going to be like, you didn't help me. I'm going to prove my worth once again and do well. And Alonso wants to make his car as big as possible to screw over Hamilton.
But that's what I'm saying.
And because Alonso has nothing to lose.
If Ferrari or Red Bull really need to, they can ask Sainz and Perez to give up position. However, that question being asked is completely redundant if neither Verstappen or Leclerc can get past Alonso.
Because, hold on,
that's what I'm saying, which is why it's really good for Sainz and Perez, because Alonso screws up pretty much any strategical plan that Verstappen or Leclerc could get through. And you know what? Mercedes is also going to be like, no. George is currently sitting fourth and Hamilton is sitting sixth. We are going to do whatever we can to make sure that Leclerc and Verstappen do not get past.
So the order of the race going tomorrow is first Sainz, second Perez, third Alonso, my Feliz Navidad. Fourth, Hamilton. Fifth, Russell. Sixth, Albon. Seventh, Ricciardo. Eighth, what does that say? Gasly? Eighth, that's surely got to say Gasly. Yep.
Yeah,
eighth,
it starts with a B. We don't have anyone who starts with a B in here, but Bottas is all the way in 14th.
Eighth, Gasly. Nine, Stroll.
Ten is Vettel.
Ten, Vettel. 11, Latifi. 12, Magnussen.
13 is Tsunoda,
14 Bottas, 15 Verstappen, 16 Leclerc, 17 Ocon.
Olsen. Yeah. Mary-Kate and Ashley represent.
18 Norris, 19 Zoe, 20 Schumacher. So the fact that everything's mixed up, it's going to be very, very interesting.
We're excited. I am going to stay up for this one because you know what? Science on pole means I'm not going to be able to sleep if I stay up late. I'm going to be tired, too much adrenaline through my veins. But then again, if I don't watch it, I'll be like, I cannot go on my phone until 6 p.m. after work on Monday. Because I'm not ruining this one. Happening.
I have to watch it before going into work because there are some other people. There are some people.
Yeah, so we can stay up tonight and watch it.
But there are some people at work that know that I like F1. So they talk to me about F1 and I can't be like, no,
spoilers. No spoilers.
Spoilers, be gone. I can't say that because I'll look like an absolute nutter walking into it. Be like, don't talk to me.
I have headphones on for a reason.
It's going to be so hard to avoid. Plus with like all the newspapers and then like, I can't. I say newspapers as if people are throwing them out on the streets. It's going to be so hard to get off of my phone considering I need to be on my phone to work. So
considering like both of our work homepage intranet has like news as well on it as well. That's not going to help.
I can't even. So on my work computer at the very bottom.
Yeah, it tells me like breaking news. And I'm like, I don't want
to
hear it.
So other people have configured theirs to have shares and whatnot. I can't get mine off the weather.
Yeah, mine's weather and sports. I can't get rid of sports because like, you know, as much as I love following F1, I do not want to see it on my work computer.
But hold on.
Because then I'm like, no, hobby is mixing with work. This is not a fun environment.
But my weather's set to the London weather. I can't even get it to Australia.
Oh, it's night and night and cloudy. No, it's not. It's 12 p.m. and sunny.
Actually, that's what happened with using my work computer's weather. I once looked at that weather, forgetting that it wasn't Perth's weather, went out and it was bucketing down with rain without my raincoat.
Anyway, so we've finished qualifying.
Yes.
What are your predictions for the result? Podium results tomorrow. Not what you want. Not what you want. What are your predictions of the result? Not what you want. What do you actually think will happen?
If it's what I want.
Nana, what do you think will actually happen?
I'm going to give you two. If it's what I want, I want my Feliz Navidad. I don't care what order, but I want my Feliz Navidad. That's what I want.
With Carlos first.
Ideally with Carlos first. Ideally with Alonso third, which makes Perez in the middle. But I want my Feliz.
Like regardless, I don't mind where Perez or Alonso finish.
Yeah. I want my Feliz Navidad. That's what I want. I know.
Spanish speaking sandwich, let's be clear.
No, it's a Spanish sandwich.
No, Alonso's Mexican. No, he's not. Perez is Mexican.
That's why I said Spanish-speaking. No, a Spanish sandwich because Alonso's from Spain and Carlos is from Spain. He's also the
bread. Got it.
Perez is not from Spain, which makes him the meat
the filling.
In the sandwich.
Got it.
Spanish sandwich. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's what I want. What I think will actually happen, the Mercedes had real trouble getting their temperature in their tyres.
They say it's going to be warmer, but
warmer?
What do you mean warmer by warmer?
Warmer than 20?
Warmer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, warmer.
Yeah, so not hot.
No, exactly. And the Mercedes have done really well on quote-unquote hot. Hotter tracks. Mm. So that being said, I think it's going to I want to believe in Ferrari. I really want to believe in Ferrari, but I feel like they'll mess up a strategy. I feel like they're going to mess up a strategy, to be honest.
Okay, so you're 1, 2, 3.
So I think it'll be Perez.
You too.
Albon will get his first podium.
Second.
And then Sainz. They'll mess up Sainz's second win, but
if they're more likely to mess up anyone's strategy, I think it'll be Leclerc because I'm giving my opinion now.
I think it's going to be Perez, Albon, and Sainz. They're my top three, and I think my wild card is going to be Stroll. There we go.
Okay, so my predictions of the top three, I think Sainz will do well. I think Sainz will end up coming first only because he has something to prove. So does Perez. But Perez needs to prove himself that he can be closer to Max much more than Sainz needs to prove that he's better than Leclerc. The reason why I say this is... So I'm saying Sainz is first. The reason why I'm saying this is because Perez is actually really close to Verstappen. Sainz is close to Leclerc.
What are the points? Because I know Verstappen's obviously first. But I think the points it goes Verstappen, then Perez, and then Leclerc? Or is it still Verstappen?
Okay,
Leclerc,
so we've got Verstappen Perez. First at 258 points. Leclerc second at 178. Oh, Perez third at 173.
Oh.
Then we have Russell at 158, and then we have Sainz at 156.
Yeah, Mr.
So that's what I'm saying. Although Sainz has something to prove that he's just as good as Leclerc, he's currently sitting fifth in the standings. If he wins tomorrow and gets fastest lap, that's 156 plus 26, which goes to 182.
Okay, sure. I trust you.
182, if the top don't get any points, puts him technically second. However, if Perez gets 26 points, that puts him really close to Verstappen. So it'll be from Sainz going from fifth to potentially second as opposed to third to second. Perez has been in it longer than Sainz.
Has he?
Yeah, he's been in it just about the same time as Ricciardo. But I think he wants to prove himself more.
Okay, so you say Sainz is first?
Sainz is first. I think... second will be Verstappen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I think second will be Verstappen. Third will be Leclerc.
Really?
Yeah, because I reckon Max will be able to push through everybody.
And Leclerc will follow.
And then Leclerc will be able to follow. And then I think Perez will be sitting in second or third and they're going to ask Perez to let him go. Yes. Because the reason why I think they'll ask Perez to move over is because Leclerc will be able to stay close to Verstappen.
Who's your wild card? Can't be Stroll. I've got Stroll. It can be Stroll, but I mean, I'm just going to say you're copying me then.
Norris.
Even with his penalties?
Yeah, I think it'll be a wild card.
So.
Dude does well on that track.
Here we have it, folks. We have me, Perez, Albon, Sainz with my wild card Stroll. Katrina, Sainz, Verstappen, Leclerc with a wild card Norris.
Which on a regular weekend wouldn't be that much of a surprising
prediction. Mine is.
No. On a regular weekend, mine's pretty standard. But I think it's going to be interesting. We have hope.
But I think Stroll has a chance as my wild card because he's ninth.
Both of ours will give us an interesting race though.
Especially if it rains and the tyre compositions.
I reckon it'll be more interesting if
the tyre choices.
I think it'll be more interesting if it doesn't rain and stays cold. Because rain equalises people's skills.
Or not even rain, just like a little bit of drizzle.
Fog.
A little bit of mist. A little bit of spit here and there.
Yeah. Misty. Misty hills.
Okay, foggy mountains. That being said, we're going to sign off.
We'll talk to you about another 13 hours or so?
Well, no, the race starts in like 10 hours.
Yeah, and then it goes for 2 hours.
10 hours. Oh, my gosh, that's so late.
Yeah. Who needs Monday mornings, right? Oh,
love Perth time zones.
Well, at least not in Sydney.
But that being said, we're going to sign off. Thank you for listening. It's been a long one. And
everyone enjoy watching the race tonight or this afternoon, wherever you are. And hopefully...
Oh, before we log off...
We get some good pictures out of this weekend.
I say before we log off, like we're on a computer. Log off. Dad absolutely loves Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah, he's going to be devastated. Like,
where's he going? What's he doing? But mind you, hold on. That being said, Ricciardo is seventh at the moment in the standings. So,
but I reckon they'll ask him to move for Norris.
But will he? I think he might be like, you know
I
what?
Don't think he will, but they will ask him.
I've got a chance. I've got something to prove. He's going to go out with a bang. So I think he's going to do well.
Bang, bang, bang. Let's sign off. We'll talk to you in 13 hours.
See you.
Bye.
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 Bye.